Kia ora and greetings to you all from greenplanetfm.com here in nuclear-free New Zealand, the last major country to be colonised. We are situated a little over 2,000 kilometres from Australia in the Southwest Pacific Ocean and only 2,600 kilometres from the Antarctic ice sheet. So here we are. We are in many ways isolated from the rest of our global kin. And what a year it was. And note, there is still so much possibility, even in these tumultuous times. And believe me, we can initiate conscious change. And this opportunity is going to unfold all through this decade, starting in early 2021, next year, that we are a global family awakening into being. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So kia ora and greetings to you, dear breathers of the one breath that envelops our magnificent biosphere and home planet, Mother Earth, our great sustainer. Trusting that I find you warmly in a resource, that at heart you are able to feel grounded and still, being able to remain focused yet fluid in your response to the winds of change, buffeting the collective consciousness of the 7.8 billion of humanity, sharing the invisible breath at this moment. 2020 sure has brought our perspective and vision into focus as a humanity dealing with fragmentation and dysfunction to realize the imperative that we have to come together as a species and a global family. Because looking in at the Earth from outer space, that is how we are being seen. We have to raise the platform of our viewpoint like that of the astronauts who journeyed to the moon 50 years ago. Remember what they said. We live on a floating blue and white pearl, surrounded by the so-called emptiness of space. It's home for us all. So every morning, as our planet turns and the sun's rays kiss the faces of us, emerging from our sleep to engage in our daily tasks. As mothers engage in caring for their babies and fathers go out working to bring in the cash for another day, we must ask that there has to be something better for children for today and tomorrow, as we learn that every breath we take comes from the plankton of our oceans and seas and trees and forests and grasslands of the vegetable kingdom. We also have to be grateful that it's our planet that lends us bodies in which to live. This is so profound that our living planet, also known as Mother Earth, lends us our body as well. Yes, lends us our body. It's our planet that lends us free air to breathe and free rainwater to drink, and until recently, a free food chain in which to eat and nourish our being. And we are taking in the three elements of air, water and earth in the form of minerals, that there is also the fourth element, and that is that of fire, and that the sun, which our planet orbits annually, has another name, the Latin word soul. So there is an extension of light and fullness that shines 24/7, 365 for millennia and aeons. So there's much majesty in this world that we have found ourselves surrounded in literally a garden paradise that to some reminds us of a long distant mystery and story that we were once in another garden, a paradise, in a garden that had everything for us. Optimism that was positive and of light, colour, fragrance, and love. So, in recognising we are one species of many colours, creeds and cultures, that for millennia has slowly evolved from tribalism to city-states to nations and empires, and now we are in need of both a change of heart to unity consciousness to jump the divide and realise that we are all intrinsically connected as a planetary species. However, that to be conditioned and homogenized by the present global institution via mainstream media into the same swamp of sameness is not the answer to a free spirit. Remember, we in New Zealand, We used to have an educational system that encouraged us to ask questions, to be curious. This goes back to the early times, because New Zealand is an extension of a British education system, which in many ways was founded on ancient Greece. And I wish to pause here and focus for a moment, as I had the good fortune to go to Greece last year. For such a small gene pool, the Greeks made important contributions to life. Across the board, philosophy, especially philosophy, because Greek philosophers were seekers and lovers of wisdom. They studied and analyzed the world around them using logic and reason. And although we often think of philosophy as a religion or the meaning of life, the Greek philosophers were also scientists. They studied the makeup of both nature and matter. They were also adept at mathematics and physics, plus geometry, astronomy, and medicine, extending into anatomy and athletics, and of course, the Olympic Games. The Greeks were known for their drama and plays in their amphitheatres, as well as sophisticated sculpture and architecture as well. More so, it was the birthplace of democracy, and yes, they had slaves as well. Possibly one-third of the population were slaves. The Greek culture naturally influenced the Roman Empire and many other civilizations, and it continues to influence modern cultures even today. However, one of my main reasons for going to Greece, which was for my third time, was that I have been a student of our living planet for 38 years. And it was the early Greeks who understood this, and they called her Gaia, or Gaia, the Earth Mother, and over 2,500 years ago, and I wanted to see if their understanding was similar to the Aotearoa New Zealand Maori, who here in this country have a very sacred connection to the Earth too, as well, calling her Papa Tuanuku, and they have successfully engaged and secured the New Zealand government to recognise a river, a vast river, the Whanganui River, or Awa, as being a living entity that is embedded in the landscape of our country. Having a catchment area of 7,308 square kilometres, it's quite large. Furthermore, Māori have also worked with the New Zealand government to have them bequeath, due to its geographical isolation, Te Uriwera of Tūhoe, the regional tribal iwi of that area. And this national park, that is essentially all forest, covers 2,127 square kilometres. And bestowing on this land to be a legal entity that has the rights, powers, duties, and liabilities of a legal person. These are world firsts and have only been enacted in the last few years. So having lived near on 72 years of my life in New Zealand and hanging out on the underside of the curvature of our planet here and spending 17 years as Air New Zealand flight crew, flying from the southern hemisphere up around the curve over the equator into the northern hemisphere that was slowly turning towards me. I have also spent time with Dr. Elizabeth Sartoris, who is a geobiologist among many of her other scientific attributes, and she has studied our planet as a superorganism. But I've also had the good fortune to interview Dr. James Lovelock, a polymath, who through his research with NASA, the US Space Program, and the Pasadena Jet Laboratories in California, he gave us a hypothesis that is now a theory that our planet is a colossal superorganism, and it is the biggest one that we know of in our solar system. And this superorganism, in many ways, has birthed life. And as the ancient Greeks say, from her all things have issued. So I landed in Athens and set out walking to breathe in the beauty of this ancient city and see the wonders of how they endowed their civilization with their building skills. Yet one thing was always ticking over in my being. How did they come to an understanding that our planet was a living being? Then it hit me. A cat has kittens, a dog has puppies, a cow has a calf, and a goat has a kid. A bear has a cub, and a horse has a foal, and they all come from a mother. From a mother. Then when I looked around me in the street, I saw all these people, men and women, elderly and teenagers and children, and they too all came from a mother. So then the Greeks must have looked at their nail and their belly button and remembered that this is where they were connected to their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother, and in their mind traced back through the family tree. And finally they must have deduced that in the mists of time, somehow, somewhere, their bodies must have come from Mother Earth, because, as in the introduction of this program, I mentioned that we are made of three main elements, with the sun representing fire to show the four forces of nature. Now, when I relate this to Aotearoa and Māori, a great many of them revere Papatūānuku. Quite astounding, really, because when in their company, all I have to do is mention Papatūānuku in a context of food, water, wind, fish, whatever, I manage to get their focused attention. And to anyone who understands Māori lore, the belly button and the umbilical cord, to them is one of the most sacred connections they have back to source. They call it whakapapa. Whakapapa. Māori who have an oral language have another unique way of singing their connection to source, and so they sing their lineage or bloodline to their babies, pepe and children, tamariki. And by the time the baby is four or five, they know their lineage perfectly and completely. And this takes them back via the seven canoes, their waka, that they sailed across the Pacific 1,000 years ago from Hawaiki, their mystical departure place. And at a very basic level, they have a sense of belonging and a connection to a source or the source. So this was part of my journey into Greece. I also visited Delphi, where the oracle was a very significant part of how the Greeks divined the future and how they saw their spiritual connection to life. This is where the rounded temple of Athena sat with the rectangular temple of Apollo, two very different structures. Also, Delphi is known as the navel of the world, the navel of Gaia, the belly button. Such were the clairvoyants of that day able to see clearly in that temple complex, and that for a certain amount of time, they nearly brought about a golden age, one that talks of Pericles and Athens. Also over a very small aperture of time, so many great beings incarnated into that small Greek landmass that also straddled western Turkey, where the splendor of the second Acropolis only to Athens was built at Pergamon during the Hellenic period, and just 170 kilometers further south is the ruins of the once profound and magic Ephesus, and one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis. And finally, I would like to finish this little discourse by mentioning Pythagoras, one of the more mystical philosophers of ancient time, when it is purported that when we sit really still and in a quiet meditative state, we can hear the music of the spheres and the planets all spinning. For it was he who originally intuited that our planet was round, that some planets naturally are larger than others, and all spin and hum to a series of different musical notes. And thus, when sitting and listening, all these planets are part of a musical sound system, a symphony, if you will, that we still today are not aware of. I'm going to take a little breather, knowing that Jupiter and Saturn are so close together today. It hasn't been like this from a viewpoint of Earth for 800 years. It's from Enigma 3, Morphing Through Time.
Earth, a biosphere.
That you were able to enjoy that interlude where we morphed into basically a cathedral and you had a choral cathedral music to bless your soul. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because if you go back into ancient times, you will find that all the large cities or large edifices like the Great Pyramid of Cheops in Egypt, Stonehenge, in Glastonbury, in England, the cathedrals in Cologne, in Germany, in Chartres Cathedral, in France, St. Mark's Cathedral, in Venice. All of these are situated on ley lines or acupuncture meridians for the planetary body. The ancients understood another level of being. And just like we have acupuncture meridians that the Chinese knew about 2,000 plus years ago, and you can put certain needles in your body and it shifts the energy and it can heal and it flows. And speaking for myself, I've had over 1,000 needles in my physical body over my lifetime, and I know that it works. So the planetary body has these particular areas where there are nodal points or energy points. And we have to realize that they knew something that we do not know today. So here we are, living on our magnificent turning living world atlas of four seasons that every 6 months, like clockwork, tilts away from the sun to 182 days later, incomprehensibly turned back to another season of warmth and light. That every 6 months tilts away from the sun into coldness of the winter season, all in ordered splendor, whilst below on the planet floor and at sea level, the vegetable, animal, and the human kingdoms draw sustenance from the four elements of earth, water, air, and fire that keeps all species proliferating whilst hidden within the web of life. Our planet's mysterious temperature thermostat, embedded in the atmosphere and connected to countless other physical conditions like bacteria and fungi in the soil, keeps this giant superorganism in stasis and balance, enabling all life to magnificently stay homeostatically alive and well in relationship to a tightly coupled life support system. So yes, we as a human and as a family have to reconfigure our consciousness, our awareness of who we are. For there's a saying that the purpose of existence is to find out the purpose for existence. As to who we are, and that we are spiritual beings having an earth experience, here to fulfill our need to live gracefully as a global family, awakening to an unknown potential in our world that is heaving in anxiety and unfulfillment, but just at this moment. This is our time and our incarnation to divine who we are and look within, knowing that we are surrounded in all six directions by infinity, coiling with suns through deep dimensions of time, because we're surrounded in starlight. It's also our time to storm the inner self and recognize that we have been like dormant seeds nested under the ground and being like gods of limitation, awaiting a new metaphor for ascension, and to now burst out of our dark cocoon of unknowingness into the sunlight of a totally new day. Even more so, to grow into the light of our own true selves, and that we need to ignite our innermost expression as embryo gods and realize that every baby born into this realm is an energy bundle of exponential potential and love. If there's one thing that we've learned from global mainstream media, is we've been conditioned and desensitized at the same time, and we have also been subjected to many untruths. And we have been boxed into something like a self-limiting six-sided cube. When at soul level, we need to increase and extend our aura of consciousness that surrounds us all to that of the fullness, to an expanding sphere, and see far more degrees of arc and dimensionally as well, with 360 degrees of perspective in every direction, both horizontally and vertically, as we simultaneously look deeply within as well. Sure, from our first breath we came in full of passion and imagination, and our aim, extend the visible envelope that surrounds our being, our auric field. But that was for many of us during the last century, and now we are realizing that life for us is potent and full of possibilities for this decade and beyond. Now today, with instantaneous connection to nearly every human on earth, We are only a moment away from a family smile and of a loved one. We are only a couple of degrees of separation, and the way forward is to share the good and to spread that which will empower us as we realize our connection to the 7.8 billion souls and other possibilities, all endeavoring to find their way in life. Remember, when you were young, you shined like the sun. Shine on, you crazy diamond. That was Roger Waters and Pink Floyd when he was in a very up moment. That was in Wish You Were Here. That's correct. So as infants and children, we were full of passion and imagination. Life for us was full of possibilities. I've mentioned it a number of times, haven't I? So today, by asking questions, we can quickly find connections among all kinds of information and matters, that with good guidance and care, we can handle things confidently, according to the patterns we find. Yes, let's integrate into the system. Because are you not eager for validation from other people? And surely you are also quite generous about your praise and support of other people. So I just want you to be flexible and cool, because you are gifted with a rare ability of improvisation and making things good again. Right, I'm going to take a little break again. This is the Moody Blues. This is from the Moody Blues album, Seventh Sojourn. It was their seventh album. And we know, 7 days in the week, seven notes in the chord, seven colours in the rainbow, and even seven chakras in our body. There is much to do about the sacred seven. It is the seventh direction as well, the inner direction. So I'm going to play this song. It's called Lost in a Lost World. How can we break free of this? It's a very good song.
Come on, my friend, we've got to bend on our knees.
So that's it. So many people. So many people. That album has been out since 1972. How old were you in 1972? And we were talking about so many people. Yeah. Challenges aplenty. Okay, well look, I wanted to recap of some of the good things we did this year on greenplanetfm.com. Yes. Green Planet. greenplanetfm.com. And I'm going to start with January, and we had Claire Edwards. What is the real 5G agenda, and why the frantic hurry to deploy it? This is a very, very insightful interview, because she worked within the United Nations, and she found out certain things that gives you major concerns of how this has all been laid out. So Claire Edwards was excellent. Now we have another one too, that I think is very good, and that was with Molly Ireland. Why is New Zealand's high suicide rate exposing a loss of connection to family and to a duty of care? So that was very important. And then there was me, that I came out just after the lockdown, because we were sort of all caught prior to that lockdown, breaking out of the local and global narrative. As you know, fear has actually got hold of so many people, and this fear has been drummed up by the media. They're working it day and night, and they're wanting us to be locked away completely in our house, no contact with a smile, no contact with a hug. And these smiles and hugs are the glue of family, of love, of community, of connection. And so that was my little offering at the end of the lockdown here in New Zealand. And then I interviewed Dr. Robin Kelly, and it was to do with the COVID syndrome from a doctor at the work front. And he said it was very tough for a lot of people who could not get the treatment they wanted solely because they were virtually all locked away. So have a listen to the good doctor. He is a very good man. He's my own personal doctor. So, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm giving him a good plug. He deserves it. I've also did an interview with Glenn Atkinson. He has brought about a new circular periodic table of elements. Now, this is world-breaking news. Glenn has let the cat out of the bag. Before, the table of elements were on a flat surface, and they started with a smaller number and they built up to the higher number of neutrons, etc., in clusters. And what he has done is he has made it circular. And so that on one side, a particular element will marry up to its opposite on the other side. And he is going to get accolades. He is going to actually receive awards that are so deserving for him. Check that out. Glenn Atkinson, a circular periodic table of elements. We have Jana Dixon. The 1080 fiasco, the problem in New Zealand is that we have got chemical poisoning of the ecosystem. And listen to her, because she also offers up a biological alternative, which is getting another biological component to take care of these possums and essentially get rid of them. I also did Paul Levi, dispelling Waiteko, or Waiteko, breaking the curse of evil. When the forefathers came to America back in the 15th, 16th century, so for some unknown reason, the First Nations of America noticed in many ways that they didn't understand nature. And what they did in many cases is they started to cut it all down. And after cutting all down, then they started to use it and abuse it and take it. This is a very, very insightful understanding of how Indigenous and First Nations saw what mankind was doing. Then, after that, I had Elandra Meredith, New Zealand's tall poppy syndrome. Why is this happening here in this country? Elandra has been a yoga teacher and a health practitioner for most of her life, and she bags it. She's got it. And then I had another one of Glenn Atkinson. It was astrology is a fact of physics. Nobody has come back to him and said, no, this is not true. He has been able to quantify or qualify that astrology is something that actually works. And just like electrons going around the nucleus of an atom, so do planets go around the nucleus of a sun. And it's similar in some ways. The microcosm and the macrocosm. I had Rod Oram. He's one of New Zealand's top public speakers in the areas of economics and new technologies, agriculture, business, and how businesses are run. And he's wanting to shift New Zealand to become far more conscious and bring in biological and regenerative agriculture, clean up our land, our soil, our waterways. And also, in 4 months ago, I had Roy Harlow, the multi-tier disinformation narrative that is assaulting our planet and people. Boy, Roy, he hits them all out of the park. We look at the fact that the media at the moment is controlling the narrative and driving us down a path that's totally not human friendly. We have to turn off TV, turn off the radio, turn off, and access your news from alternative sources. Social media may not necessarily be the only alternative source, but we have to get away from the big players. The CNNs and NBC, the Fox News and BBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and our New Zealand Herald. Oh, boy. And TV One, TV Three, I don't have a television. And Radio New Zealand, well, now and again they put one or two gems, but most of the time it's not. I had Murray Horton, also 4 months ago. Who owns New Zealand? And Murray's domiciled in the south in Christchurch, defending Aotearoa's interests. He tells us that so much of New Zealand is owned. The four largest forests in New Zealand aren't owned by New Zealanders. And there are many, many other things. And you don't even have to. You can buy and sell houses. It's only when it comes to over $100 million do you have to have a register. Very, very powerful. Who wants to be a tenant in their own country? Ray Broomhall, SpaceX. This is Elon Musk wanting to put up another 40,000 more 5G satellites so that they can rake us with their frequencies. This is a very good interview, a superb interview, because Ray is a barrister and he knows how to put the story across. It's very, very good. Then we have Nikki Gladding, and she says that New Zealand is bottling billions and billions of bottles of water and we're selling it overseas, and you don't have to pay for the water that comes out of the ground. There are foreign countries in this land, and they are situated close to ports, and they're pumping the water out of the ground, and it doesn't cost them 1 cent. All they have to do is actually comply with health protocols and put up a building and make sure that everything's clean and tidy, but they don't pay for water. And guess what? Nobody's wanting to know about this. Then I had Dan Hermanson. Is Aotearoa New Zealand a free and independent country? And this was all about the first flag that we had in this country. It was by the United Tribes, and it is an agreement between King William II and 32 Maori chiefs that they thought that they were going to be given sovereignty and that they would be able to do what they wished to do. However, this has been sideswiped and turned around. Listen, we have had a lot. Since coming out 4 months ago, we've had 6,200 hits on this particular YouTube. And that's only YouTube, not greenplanetfm.com. We have plenty there too. We also covered another one of Professor Don Huber, The Facts of Genetically Modified Organisms and the Glyphosate Trojan Horse. The Glyphosate Trojan Horse. Professor Don Huber, he is also in the American military as a reserve, and his job is to make sure that they don't do biological attacks on America with bioterrorism. I've got Robin Kelly again, and he covers the 5G deployment, what they're doing with 5G, that there are many, many questions regarding this virus. And I'm not saying he says it, but I'm going to say it's essentially a sham. And we'll find all out about this very shortly, that it's no worse than a really bad flu, but it's used as a cover to actually come in and put the fourth industrial revolution in, that the World Economic Forum is wanting to overlay planet Earth and take control of our life. And this is a very important interview with Robin. Please listen. Then I have Phil Stevens and the imminent global economic cashless society. And as you know, we're getting ready to have our cash taken away from us, and we're going to have plastic cards. And then there's always that story about implants into somewhere on our wrist, and this implant has got all our information, and it's going to allow us to not have any cash at all. This is the most dangerous story out. And then I have Billy Tikahika. And Billy, he was New Zealand's social media phenomenon, the fastest growing political party in the nation's history. And this was prior to the election. And for some unknown reason, and we're putting quotation marks around that, Billy did not get the amount of votes that everyone who was keen on him, we didn't get. Why? This is a big story. And the Dominion voting machines that they have up in America is part of this story, from what I am led to believe. Because Billy, we think, had far, far, far more votes. Then we have Roy Harlow again. Just don't fight the system. You just have to abandon it and set up your own. And this is an important one to do too. Don't get caught up. Get to know your neighbours. Get to know your farmer's market. Learn to live a little bit more simply. This is one way we can get through there. Then, after that, Paul Wardell, unknown health effects and electromagnetic sensitivity, 5G and the fourth industrial revolution. Learn about this. The fourth industrial revolution is all about the electronic everything of you. I also have Dr. Simon Thornley, New Zealand University statistics dilute the COVID narrative and confounds governments and critics. This is really important. He was the only person in the universities throughout New Zealand who stood up and said, hey, there are many, many, many questions here that haven't been answered. And I see that there is, the narrative has been basically sidestepped, the narrative has been co-opted. Let's check that one out. I then have Jacques Wendell. Is New Zealand a corporation? Ha-ha. Is New Zealand a corporation of the City of London? Now, this is gathering momentum too. We're finding out that the City of London is a little state within a country. We find out that the Vatican is the same in Rome. And we find out that D.C. and Washington is also. How come these particular areas have some sort of sovereignty of their own? Okay, and the next one was Bill Watson. What is a soul and do we have one? And I did two with Bill there because it's too much of a good subject. And we wanted to let you know that, yeah, every human being has a soul, an angelic soul. And Bill gives a very good understanding of many different aspects of this. And we need to be able to be very, very astute because we've forgotten about soul. We're so busy into physicality. We're so into flexing our muscles and looking, you know. We need to be able to step back and go inside ourselves and recognize all the spiritual qualities that we have been given. And then there's Sam Steer, biomimicry from bios, meaning life and mimicking. And this is very interesting how we are starting to mimic nature and learn from nature so many good things. And finally, Dr. Eben Alexander, who was an atheistic neurosurgeon and he had a near-death experience, was in a comatose situation. His body was slowly, slowly disintegrating through meningitis. And the doctors were looking at his body falling away and they were getting close to wanting or having to pull the switch and release him, but in some unfathomable and some fantastic fluke or divine intervention, call it what you wish, he came to and told a story that is so out of this world. He was present in another dimension, in another realm, in another reality. He was in communication with other beings. He saw so much beauty, so much in the way of astounding. He heard sound that was just out of this world. He comes back and he says, please, please, human beings, don't get locked down into our body and run away and get caught up in all the outer forms of the physical reality. Take a deep look inside. He also mentions reincarnation. And this happens when most people start to look deeper or who have maybe had an out-of-body or near-death experience, the more they check it out, the more they realize that in actual fact, there are more cycles in life than we know. There's the oxygen cycle, the carbon cycle, the sulfur cycle, the potassium cycle, there's the astrological cycle, there's the galactic cycle, there's the cycle of the moon, there's just so many cycles. And, you know, the seasonal cycle on the planet. There's so many cycles. And so why not a cycle of the soul? So Dr. Eben Alexander tells this wonderful story. And this is all on greenplanetfm.com. And so I want to be able to thank all those people who have come, especially the many people from overseas. And I say, kia ora, and ka pai, and thank you, and it's lovely that you from overseas want to know what's happening in these Emerald Islands here in New Zealand, and that there is so much that we can do to help our world, to be a living example, to be a good example for our brothers and sisters overseas, our greater global family. And so I want to thank you people, all you people who have been able to listen and find out what's happening here in New Zealand. We have the ability to do so many wonderful things because we were a country that really once took care of each other. However, we got we got mesmerized or hypnotized by the neoliberal experiment of making as much money as possible and not actually caring about anything else in relationship to how much waste we produce or what poor quality we produced or what we had to throw away and what we had to put in landfills, because we haven't been mindful. And so thank you for all the people overseas who have come in and wanted to listen to what we're doing, which is our best, to make sure that the children of today and tomorrow have got a healthy, vibrant planet and biosphere in which to fulfill their life and fulfill their quest to get to a greater knowing of who they are, why they are here, and how we can save the day. There's one other very important issue, extremely important, that I want to be able to address at this moment, because I've been involved with green issues since about 1974, 75, and very serious from then on. But when it comes to global warming and climate change, I was once a major proponent. Way back in 2004 when I started this radio program, I was keen to have this program be the climate change and global warming radio station for New Zealand. And at that particular stage too, a lot of ice happened to break off from the ice shelf down in Antarctica. And it started to float around Antarctica and then come up through the Auckland Islands at the bottom of the South Island. And we were quite shocked and amazed that this occurrence could happen, so therefore global warming is definitely on. And I've been keeping an eye on other things. Now, one of the things was, as an Air New Zealand crew member, I used to fly. I flew for 17 years, and I finished in 1993, and we're flying 767s and Boeing 747-400s, and I was flying 10 kilometres up in the air and for 12 hours at a time. And one of the things that I never ever saw when I was flying was chemtrails. And so these chemtrails started to appear around about 1994, and I was living in Australia, and I was sort of outside the loop a wee bit because I was living in the country, but I didn't see any of them there. Anyway, I came back to New Zealand in 2000, and I started to see one or two of them, and I'd look at them, and I'd realise that they're staying in the air a lot longer than normal vapour trails. And so I started to scratch my head about this one, and I thought, gosh, what's this going on here? And then I hear other stories about that they've done tests, real finite tests, where they found barium and strontium and aluminium in there. And then I started to watch geoengineeringwatch.org up in the States and a few others. And there was a New Zealand one too here, Northland Chemtrails, I think. Anyway, the whole thing is that I realised that there was something else happening. And then on top of this, I started to get stories about how the Air Force, the US Air Force, had written a paper, or a large paper, on owning the weather by 2025. And then I started looking into weather warfare and frequency wars and HAARP technologies. And the Americans were doing it, the Russians and the Chinese were doing it. They were altering the weather to be able to bring about rain, but also it was called a force multiplier if you could actually direct a hurricane over a landmass of a lot of people and have the hurricane do all your work for you, and you just come in afterwards whilst all the buildings are down and all the infrastructure is ruined, and you can take over a country. So I have hit the brakes a wee bit, because one of the big things is that no environmentalists, there are very few ecologists and environmentalists who will even think about chemtrails, or shall I say, it's solar dispersal. It's to reflect sunlight back into space, as so the story goes. And I'm waiting for a breakthrough here, because until they get to the stage of saying, right, we've got to check out all these aircraft that are going through, and I've got photos, everybody's got photos, and the whole word conspiracy theory comes up, and it ruins the whole conversation. It ruins the whole conversation. So I'm just wanting to let you know, give you a heads up. I'm very aware of it, but and I've done one excellent interview here in on greenplanetfm.com. Have a look at the slider. It's by Malcolm Scott. Yeah, very good. And just to show, and just to let you know, I'm not missing an action or gone AWOL. I've noticed a number of things. It's very easy to notice this, that all the glaciers in the Southern Alps are melting and retreating very, very fast. So that's one marker for global warming in New Zealand. The other one is that the water around the coast of New Zealand is warming. When you swim in summer, it's warmer than it's ever been. And I've noticed that myself, and they say maybe a couple of degrees on the west coast of the North Island, the water is warmer. And another thing is I always finish my morning shower with a cold shower. And I notice that when I'm having the cold shower, and it's not really cold. And I've come to the conclusion that the pipes which are buried in the soil is warm. That's all I can say, and it's not insulating it anymore. Big problem. So that's me, and I've been in the studio here for 13 hours today. Yes, I was supposed to have an interview, but it didn't happen, so I had to make something up as I go along, and I had to write a bit of it up, and then I decided just ad lib it. So I'm trusting that you have a lovely Pohutukawa Christmas here in New Zealand and a warm, loving family get together wherever you are overseas and keep the Christmas spirit alive and learn to forgive. Forgiveness is very important. Another thing is too, all crew on Spaceship Earth, all crew, action stations, we have to make sure that the ship can take us through. We have to have clean air, clean water, a healthy and clean food supply. We have to make sure that no crew is left unattended. We have so much to do to bring a ship through so that future generations of crew can grow into the light of their own true knowingness. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere rā.